What if the Cardinals were playing the other day and Yadier Molina went out, squatted down behind the plate, and held out his hands and signaled for Adam Wainwright to throw him a fastball? Aside from the fact that Wainwright isn't very good at fastballs, what else is wrong with this scene? He forgot his catcher's gear. Just as a catcher needs special gear to protect him, we need special gear to protect us from Satan. Paul talked about this gear in Ephesians chapter 6. He compared it to a Roman soldier's armor. Rome was the empire that controlled most of the known world during Paul's day. Their army was the biggest army in the world. They looked imposing, not just because of their numbers, but also because each soldier had fancy armor. Let's read the passage to find out a little more. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm when, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 6:12 says that there is a war. We are not talking about the fights that are going on in the world today. Paul is talking more about battles that are going on inside of us. We're not fighting against people, we're fighting against the devil. Even Jesus had to fight against the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus won, and so can we, if we use the tools that God has given us. Ephesians 6:13 tells us to take up the full armor of God. Paul lists all of the pieces that we need for the battle. The first one is the belt of truth. A Roman's belt was not like ours. It was a wide belt made of metal and leather, and it had strips hanging down. The belt holds a soldier's equipment. Only Roman soldiers were allowed to wear this kind of belt, so it was a symbol of belonging to an army. Paul calls us to buckle the belt of truth around our waist. But what is truth? Webster's dictionary tells us truth is the actual state of matter. If my mom tells me to tell her the truth, I need to tell her the thing that really happened. We can find truth in the Bible. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says that he is the truth, so we need to think of having Jesus holding us together like a belt. John 16:13 tells us, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Truth does not come from what we want or feel. Truth comes from God, and we can know the truth because of the Holy Spirit within us. This belt of truth must be fastened tightly. Romans didn't wear pants, but belts would hold up their tunics so they could move easily. If your belt was loose, it would be difficult to move. The belt was also a source of identification. So when you put on the belt of truth, you are telling people that you are in God's army. You also want to make sure there are no broken links in your belt. Lies or doubts about God's word can cause you to lose your belt. If you do, your breastplate will be flapping around. The rest of your weapons will be missing. Speaking of breastplates, Paul said to have your breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate was segmented so that it wasn't as heavy, but it still provided protection. It protected a soldier's belly and chest, where your heart and lungs are, pretty important organs. A breastplate was mentioned in Isaiah 59, where it says, "The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. The Lord put on a breastplate of righteousness in Isaiah. Paul also tells us to. What is righteousness? It is the quality of being morally right and without sin. Another way of thinking about it is being right with the Lord. Back in Genesis, Moses, Noah, and Abraham were both considered righteous. Matthew tells us in chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well." We should start with finding righteousness and not worrying about everything else. Where should we look for righteousness? Righteousness comes from God, as it says in Romans chapter 3. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So what does righteousness have to do with a breastplate? Righteousness protects our heart like a breastplate. It produces peace, like Isaiah 32:17 says. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Peace is talked about a lot in the Bible. Speaking of, Paul tells us to have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. A Roman soldier's feet would be fitted with sandals that had thick soles and studs on the bottom. The thick sole would protect their feet, and the studs helped them grip the roads and were useful for hurting a fallen enemy. They would wear these sandals all the time. We should also have shoes of the gospel of peace on all the time. What is the gospel of peace? Gospel means good news. It can be summarized in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, with which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. Jesus died for your sins so that we can live forever. That is good news. Our gospel should be a gospel of peace, defined in biblical times as the condition of well-being or wholeness. The modern-day use refers to the absence of tension. Ephesians 2:14 says that peace can be found only in Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us peace is not from us, but from God. We can get peace by praying and spending time with God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace? Most people want peace rather than conflict. Like I said, true peace comes from Jesus. Romans 10:14-15 tells us the importance of sharing our peace. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone is preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You always need to keep your shoes on or be prepared with the word of God to defend your faith. Regarding defending your faith, a major tool for defense for a Roman soldier was a shield. Paul tells us to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. A Roman shield, also called a scutum, was 3.5 feet tall with a slight curve. It was made of leather on a wooden framework with a metal knob in the middle. For its size, it was fairly light and still provided a lot of protection. Paul compares a scutum with a Christian's faith. Faith is trusting somebody or something without proof. Hebrews 11 tells us a little more about faith. I will read verses 1 and 6. You can check out the rest of the chapter later if you would like. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Ephesians 2:8 tells us how important faith is. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We haven't done anything to be saved. It's by God's generosity. Only by faith or trusting in God can we be made right with him. It protects us from his judgment like a shield. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Each of us needs to have a shield of faith, but listen to how the Romans used theirs. They would make a formation called a testudo, turtle formation. The front, back, and sides would hold their shields around the perimeter, and the ones in the middle would hold their shields up to make a roof. They would march forward, and it was very difficult to break. If everyone's shields were in good shape, and if everyone worked together. Just like the Roman army, we also need to work together. Everyone needs to make sure their faith is strong and we can protect each other. The next piece of armor of God is the helmet of salvation. Roman helmet was called the Galliae. It would protect their head, their face, and the back of their neck. The crest was mainly for decoration. Paul connects his helmet with salvation. Salvation is deliverance from the eternal consequences of sin. Romans 1:16 says that salvation is available to everyone. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to a Jew and then to a Gentile. While the Jews had first knowledge of Jesus as Savior, it is now available to everyone. Just like a Roman soldier was not ashamed to wear his helmet, we should not be ashamed of our salvation. Where does our salvation come from? Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Who is the no one else Peter was talking about when he said this? Jesus, of course. The only thing you can do for salvation is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, and accept him as your Savior. A helmet protects your head, and without it, you have no life. Without salvation, you have no chance at eternal life. Isaiah 12:2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. The Lord will help you. Psalms 27:1 echoes this thought. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we put on our helmet of salvation, we are trusting God and we have nothing to fear. A Roman soldier seemed like they had nothing to fear when they drew their swords. A Roman sword was called the gladius. Next slide, please. It was a 2-foot-long, double-edged sword. It was known as the sword that conquered the world. Paul tells us to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword is the only offensive weapon listed in the armor of God. It is a powerful weapon. The word of God is perfect, as it says, 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. Psalms 119, the longest book of the Bible, talks about how much David respects the word of God. I won't take time to read it all today, but one of the most well-known verses says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. The word of the Lord can light our way, guide us if we read it and trust it. Unlike man's wisdom, the word of the Lord will last forever." 1 Peter 1:24-25 says, "For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." In Hebrews 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Just like Paul, the writer of Hebrews compares the word of God to a sword. Jesus fought with the word of God when he was tempted by Satan, and we can too. We have to know the word of God in order to wield it, though. Paul closes this passage with a reminder to pray. Verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." We need to pray in the Spirit in alignment with God on all occasions. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray continually with all kinds of prayers and requests. Nothing is too big or too small to bring before God. Be alert. Don't fall asleep praying. Be ready for your conversation. For all the saints, all God's people, our church family, missionaries, people overseas, for example, people in Afghanistan, Kenya, and Voice of the Martyrs. So now we have all these, that we have all these tools, what are you going to do with them? First of all, we need to put them on. Looking back at Ephesians 6:11-13, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." It says this commandment in both verses 11 and 13, and when something is repeated in the Bible, that means it's really important. How do we put it on? The belt of truth? Remember, Jesus said that he is the truth. So we need to put on Jesus. We can do this by seeking God's way through reading the Bible and praying in the Spirit instead of trusting our own feelings. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness again comes from God through faith in Jesus. You can't put on righteousness by yourself. Shoes of the gospel of peace. You can be at peace with God by living in obedience to God. This involves being ready to share the gospel with others. Shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, to listen to the word of God. Christian music, praise songs, and hymns will help you trust God and be reminded of his promises. Helmet of salvation. Salvation comes from God alone. The only way to put on salvation is to accept Jesus and be baptized. If you haven't done this, today is the best day to be baptized. Mr. Carson and the elders are ready to talk to you. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, this is not that hard. You have to read your Bible. It helps to think about what it says and memorize it. After you have put it on or taken up your armor, you have to take care of it. In the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Peter is given a sword as a special gift. He uses it to kill an evil wolf which is trying to kill his friends. After the battle, he is talking to Aslan, the lion who is king of Narnia, and Aslan reproves him for not cleaning his sword. Peter quickly wipes his sword. Like Peter, we need to use the tools God has given us and to take care of them. We need to keep our sword sharp by reading our Bible. We can pray and be obedient to God. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Hebrews 10:36 says, "You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." So remember to put on the armor of God because God has given you the tools to stand firm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand firm. And after you have done everything, to stand firm.